Parsha says, the Pasuk says, that Hashem said to Moshe to tell the Jewish people, Dabel b'nei Yisrael, speak to the children of Israel, v'yikachuli truma, that they should give to me a truma, give to me a portion, give to me a gift. Give me a gift. Every member of the Jewish people, they should donate of their heart to take truma, to give a portion, to give a gift. And this is the instruction that the Jewish people are to give. Actually, if you take a careful look at the verses here, the word truma is repeated three times, right? The word truma is mentioned three times, and this is the source for the three categories of gifts the Jewish people gave for the building of the Mishkan. It's interesting that the first two references to truma are half shekels for specifically to get specific about it. The one half shekel donation was given for the sockets, for the foundational sockets of the building of the Mishkan. And the other half shekel was donated by everybody for the offerings brought in the Mishkan, the sacrifices. And the other portion, which wasn't a fixed amount, it was a voluntary amount. It was not an obligatory amount. It was a voluntary amount. That was just for the vessels of the basin for the Mishkan. So the three donations that the Jewish people had to give for the building of the Mishkan, each one a half a shekel and another half a shekel for the sockets and also for the sacrifices. And everyone had to give a donation of whatever amount they wanted to give, a voluntary gift, which is the source actually for the Kli Yakar, famous commentary. He says, you see from this that in the building of the Mishkan already, there's these two energies, there are two dynamics in how we give. We give in an obligation way. The half shekels were given as an obligation. There was a set amount. They had to give that amount. And the other amount, which was given as a voluntary amount, whatever amount you want to give, you can give whatever amount you want to give. It can be on a voluntary basis, give more, give less. So in the building of the Mishkan, there were these two requirements and two spirits of giving to the building of the Mishkan, the spirit of obligation. Everyone's obligated to give a half a shekel for this and a half a shekel for this. Everyone has to do that. That's obligation, the spirit of obligation, but also the spirit of volunteering and benevolence and kindness, where everyone would give whatever amount they wanted to give, and they could just give whatever amount they want to give. And this speaks to, in general, whenever projects, community projects are being undertaken, whenever shuls are being built, whenever yeshivas are being developed, whenever organizations like IJA, right, are also, they're doing their fundraising campaigns, right? There are two spirits with which to give, right? One is with a sense of obligation, and the other is with a sense of benevolence and giving, going above and beyond what you're necessarily obligated to do, because that's the nature of giving. You give in an obligatory way, you give in a voluntary way as well. It's actually interesting. The Kli Yakar points out that when you look at these words, truma, the word truma being the word portion, giving a gift, the word truma in these three places where it's mentioned this in the first few verses, in the first two references of the word truma, it says they shall give truma, they shall give truma. They shall take truma. We'll get to the word in a second why it says taking, but they should give truma. And the third reference to the truma, it says, and truma they shall give. So the Torah deliberately reverses the order of the verb and the noun. In the first two instances of the word truma, the verb comes first, give truma. In the third instance of the word truma, it's reversed. It says, truma they shall give. And again, this alludes to the two dynamics, the two spirits of giving. In the first two, it's referring to the obligatory trumas, give truma, where the giving is obligation. And the third reference to the word truma, the word giving comes afterwards because that's the voluntary giving, right? The truma they shall give. So it's de-emphasizing the obligatory nature of the giving. But either way, right, we have in the first couple of verses over here, a very, very important message of how giving should be done. It should be done with a sense of obligation and also with a sense of benevolence and donation of spirit and desire to want to give. We always speak about this It's repeated over and over again, and not you can't even say it enough. Rachmana liba boye, that Hashem wants the heart, Hashem wants the benevolence, Hashem wants the spirit. You know, it's absolutely essential to do things out of obligation, but we also have to couple the obligation with a sense of spirit, with a sense of nefesh and neshama and lev and heart. Rachmana liba boye, Hashem wants the heart. So as we perform our obligations, to try to develop a sense of emotion, to try to develop a sense of spirit and emotion and enthusiasm. I saw a commentary that says that how does a person develop a sense of wanting to give? You know, if a person is not necessarily a giver by nature, how do you infuse your giving with a sense of benevolence, a sense of spirit, a sense of lave, a sense of heart? So one answer is given is that it says in Pirkei Avos, that it says in as a pasuk, I think, it says that everything belongs to Hashem. Well, we know that everything belongs to Hashem, but everything belongs to Hashem. All possessions belong to Hashem. When we understand that what we have is not our own, but it belongs to Hashem, it's a lot easier to give. It's a lot easier to give when you know that what you have is not yours to begin with in the first place, right? I think that's the one of the, you know, unconscious challenges people have in their given capacity, because they see everything they have, it's mine. I've got to protect it. I've got to preserve it. If I get rid of it, it's going to get lost. No, that was not yours to begin with. So we have to ask ourselves, all of these things, these objects, this money, these objects, these possessions, which seem to be in my vicinity, right? Which is really what it is. All of the possessions and all the money, which just happens to be hanging around near me, and it's not mine. Doesn't belong to me, you know. It's a lot easier to recommend others to give, right? Isn't it? It's a lot easier when there's a campaign. You tell your friend. It's a lot easier to tell someone else to give. Well, the truth is, you know. So why is it easier to tell someone else to give? Because it's not yours. Well, what you have is not yours either. So it's also very easy to tell yourself to give because it's not yours. So I have to think about how can I best use these assets. The money, the objects, the possessions, all these different assets. What's the best way to apply these assets? What does Hashem want me to do with these assets? Right? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. Whether a person's rich or poor, right? We have to ask ourselves, what does Hashem want me to do with my assets? My money, my objects, and my talents too. The possessions I have, the talents I have in my possessions I have in my talents. What does Hashem want me to do with my assets? So we have to ask us. So there's obligation and there's benevolence. And again, the obligation is obligation. We have to do it here. It says take a truma. They have to give a truma. But it also has to be coupled with a sense of benevolence and kindness and the desire to want to give as well. But that's how the parasha begins. Now, I heard, you know, as I said, I'm in Brooklyn right now, so there's a shul down the street, which I go to. It's a very, very lively shul. A lot of shiurim going on over there. So last night, I went to the 10 o'clock Mariv, and afterwards, the Rav's son, who is a Rav there as well, gave a shiur afterwards, a short 10-minute shiur, and he quoted the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer is a famous commentary, and points out a brilliant idea. A brilliant concept, because if you really look at the verses in the beginning of the portion carefully, it says, I'll read them again. Hashem said to Moshe, saying, speak to the children of Israel. Now, keep in mind as I say this, you see, we already know what the portion is about, because I mentioned at the beginning, the portion is about the Mishkan. But if someone just landed into the portion right now, or landed into this class right now, and they had no idea what the portion is about, and heard the following words, Hashem said to Moshe, speak to the children of Israel, that they shall give a donation. They shall all give a truma. They shall all give different types of donations. And they should take it from them, gold and silver and copper, and all these different materials which the verses go on to describe. So if a person had no idea, zero idea about a Mishkan, zero idea about a Beis HaMikdash, no idea, this is the very, very first time they're learning these verses and hearing these verses. And the Jewish people, for that matter, they were hearing these ideas for the very first time. They didn't have a preview of what the rest of the portion was about. So they are, the Jewish people at that time, all they're hearing from Moshe is, Hashem told me to make a collection. Give me your money. give me your gold, give me your silver, give me all your possessions. He doesn't mention a single word as to what they're being collected for. I mean, imagine you do a campaign. You know, who does a campaign without mentioning what the campaign is for? You don't start off by, you know, clapping your hand on the beamer of the shawl. Everyone, give me your money. I need money. Give me your money. Hey, Bob, I want some money. Ted, I want your money. I want your hat. Give everything to me. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's not how you collect money. You first start off by talking about, you know, we're building a shul, we're building a yeshiva, we're building a community center, and it's going to cost this amount of money, and we need to raise the money. Can everyone please contribute? Not a single word of that is mentioned. The phrase of Asuli Mikdash, make me a Mikdash, and I'm going to build a Mishkan. The very first mention of the word Mishkan, it's a few verses in, but it's not the very beginning. It's verse 8, Asuli Mikdash, make a Mikdash for Shachanti Pesova. That comes afterwards. Why doesn't Hashem tell Moshe to tell the Jewish people what this collection is all about at the very beginning? So the Chasam Sofer says that this is really the continuation of the theme of last week's Porsche. What was the theme of last week's Porsche? Last week's Porsche was Mishpatim, was about civil law. But the very end of the portion, I discussed this last week, the very end of the portion gives us a recap, gives a little bit of a recap of the narrative of the revelation. And we discussed that as well. But within that passage over there, in the recap of the revelation, the famous words of Nasa V'Nishma are mentioned over there, 24-7. Nasa V'Nishma, we will do and we'll listen. Nasa V'Nishma is the theme of the beginning of the portion as well. Because the real test of the metal to see whether or not they're willing to do before they listen, right? Where is it most hard? Where is it most difficult to do without knowing why? It's most difficult to give up your money without really knowing the reason why you're giving it. And this was the test of Nasa V'Nishma. Hashem said to Moshe, tell the Jewish people, give me your money. Give me your money. Hand it over. Don't tell them why. Just tell them to hand it over. And we'll see, it'll be a test to see how willing they're willing to do that, how willing they're willing to put into practice their Nasa V'Nishma declaration. Are they willing to do it and to give before knowing what they're giving for? This was the test. And that's why the portion doesn't begin. That's why Moshe doesn't begin with describing to the Jewish people what the actual campaign was for. Just give me the money. Hand me the money over. Hand me your gold. Hand me over the silver. And then I'll tell you afterwards what it's about. That's Nasa V'Nishma, right? Beautiful idea. But that's how the portion begins. Zeroing in, as we always do, zeroing in and being very, very precise and careful and, observing the language of the verses, because really, you know, we know the language of the verses and the nuances of phraseology is well where so much comes out. So I've been saying all along in describing this collection of Truma, I've been describing it as the Jewish people giving, right? They should all give a Truma. If you look at the verse, it doesn't say that. I think in the English, maybe it says, I'm not sure what it says in the art scroll, but the Hebrew says the following, Vayekechu li Truma, take for me Truma, Hashem says, take for me Truma. So right off the bat, it's really grammatically not correct. It should say, give truma, give me the truma, give me the donation, give me the contributions. What is this language of taking the truma? The Jewish people should take for me truma. So one very classic answer for this is, again, in the context of tzedakah, of giving, that when it comes to giving tzedakah, the recipient is the recipient and the giver is the giver. But who is the true recipient? Who is the greatest recipient in the giving of tzedakah? So this we understand, that the greatest recipient in the giving of tzedakah is not the recipient. The recipient just gets olam hazeh, gets a physical object, it gets a physical gift. But the giver is the one who's receiving olam haba. He's receiving eternity. I mean, that's a much better receiving than the recipient getting the physical money, receiving a portion in Olam Haba, getting Olam Haba, eternity, nitzchias, by your giving is a much, much, much bigger giving, a much, much bigger receiving. And that's what's alluded over here, that there's a v'yikhuli truma. As you're giving, understand that you're taking. understand that you're taking by receive, by giving, you're receiving much, much more. So that's why the Torah alludes to this, hints to that in the act of giving, v'yikchuli truma, they're really taking. You're really taking as you're giving. So that's a very famous answer to the word taking. Another answer, another explanation is, and this also explains why it says v'yikchuli. It says specifically, they shall take me. Take to me, but also could be translated as they shall take me. So let's ponder this phrase for a second. They shall take me in giving the truma. The Jewish people will be taking me in giving the truma. Hashem is saying to the Jewish people, in giving this truma and giving this for the building of the Mishkan, the tabernacle, they're taking me. They're taking me because I'm going to reside with them. As the verse says later on, make me a migdash, I'm going to dwell among you. Because this is the beginning of the building of the Mishkan, which is the location, the place where the presence of Hashem is going to reside. The Ramban says that the Mishkan is a reconstruction, so to speak, of the revelation of Mount Sinai, when the divine presence rested upon the mountain and filled the hearts and the minds of the Jewish people. So the Mishkan is that. It's the experience of the divine presence. Therefore, when it says v'yikchuli truma, it's saying, in giving the truma, v'yikchuli, they're taking me. They'll be receiving me. My presence is going to become taken to them in giving the truma and building the Mishkan. That's one idea the Medrash says. But the other idea the Medrash says is really interesting. Because, you know, as we know, the Medrash, what's the style of the Medrash? What does the Medrash always do? The Medrash always links verses. That's the style. It's a rule of thumb. Midrash always links verses to the portion, to the verses being discussed in the portion. It will take other verses elsewhere in Tanakh, a pasuk in Mishle, a pasuk in Tehillim, and say this pasuk over here in the parasha links to and echoes the message of this pasuk over there in Mishle. So the Midrash does this over here, and it says this phrase of taking the truma echoes a verse in Mishle, echoes a verse in Proverbs. And the verse in Proverbs says, "Ki lekach tov nosati lechem," a good taking I gave to them. So what is it? What's the verse referring to? That verse in Mishle is referring to the Torah. The Torah is described as a taking, similar to the word over here, taking. The Torah is described as something which is taken, because it is, because conceptually, spiritually, the Torah is the essence of Hashem. It's the word of Hashem. So when Hashem gave the Torah to the Jewish people, he gave of himself to the Jewish people. By giving the Torah, the Jewish people took Hashem. They took Hashem, so to speak. They took what does Hashem mean? We only know Hashem based upon what he says and what he does. His words are an expression of who he is. The Torah is an expression of Hashem. So when Hashem gave the Torah to the Jewish people, so they took Hashem. And that's what's alluded to here also in this verse. The Medrash says the word taking, that Jewish people taking and receiving Hashem. They took Hashem, received Hashem by building the Mishkan. The Medrash says they also took Hashem by receiving the Torah. By receiving the Torah, they took Hashem as well. So the Medrash says the word taking, the Jewish people are taking, they're receiving, they're getting this very, very close connection to Hashem by receiving the Torah. But the Medrash continues and says more, and says the following. This beautiful Medrash. Medrash tells of a parable of a king that had a very, very precious daughter, a beautiful daughter. Mashal Melech Shehos Bas Yechida. A king had a very, very special daughter. Bo'echo min ha-malachim. A king, another king from a different country came along. Venosalisha, and married his daughter. He approved of the marriage. He was happy with this other king marrying his daughter. So he was happy with the marriage. They made a nice chasna. So this other king came and married his daughter. Bikesh l'nachas l'ratza, but then trouble began because the other king, the son-in-law, wanted to go back to his country, which he needed to do. And of course, now he's married. He wanted to take his wife with him. What was the point of getting married otherwise? So he wanted to take his wife with him, the daughter of the other king. Amalamelach, but the king, the father of the daughter, says, oh my goodness me, that daughter which I gave to you is my only daughter. She's my only precious daughter. I don't have any other daughters. Lifrosh mimena eliyachol, to separate from, I can't imagine separating from my daughter. Lomalocha al tikachusa eliyachol, to tell you not to take her. I can't do that either. Lefishi ishta, because she's your wife. So we're in a pickle over here. What do we do? Lezutova asale, zutova asale, do me a favor. The father-in-law king says to his son-in-law, he said to him, shekol mokim sha'ata, wherever you go, asay li bi kita, asay li bo kiton, wherever you go, make for me a kiton, a small room. Make me a small chamber, wherever you go with your wife, my daughter, wherever you go, make a small chamber, echad, she'edo bo etzlachon, that I can live near you. They had a good, it was a good relationship. You know, you don't really want in-laws to be around you. This was, they had, it was a good relationship. He said, make a small chamber that I'll be near you. Shechein eni yochol aniach, because I just can't separate from my daughter. That's what the king said to his son-in-law. So kach amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, this is what Hashem said to the Jewish people likewise. Nosati lochem es Torah, I gave to you my daughter, my Torah. Right? The Torah is like the only daughter, the precious child of the king. That's what the Torah is to Hashem. It's his verse, it's his words, it's his essence. I gave to you my Torah. Lifra shemeda in yachol, to separate from it, I can't do it because I am one with the Torah. So to separate from the Torah, I can't do that. Loma lachem al tikachu usa in yachol, and to tell you, the Jewish people, don't take the Torah. That's silly. I gave you the Torah. I want you to have the Torah. But I can't separate from the Torah. So what's the solution? Wherever you go in life, wherever you go in your travels as a nation, asuli bayis echod she'ed besocha, make a chamber in which I can dwell. Shenemar asuli mikdash, make me a mikdash. And that's the purpose of the mikdash. The purpose of the Mishkan is for Hashem to dwell inside of it, to be close to what? To the Torah that he gave to the Jewish people. That's a very, very, it's a new idea. It's a fascinating idea. If you'd ask the average person, why did Hashem tell us to make the base of Mikdash, make the Mishkan, in order to make a place where he can rest among us, which is true. But this Midrash reveals something much, much more and deeper behind the building of the Mishkan. The building of the Mishkan was as a consequence of the fact that Hashem did not want to be separated from the Torah, but yet he wants to give us the Torah. So the only way to give us the Torah, not to be separated from the Torah, is that we make for him, so to speak, a place, a Mishkan, a chamber in which he can dwell, to be near his daughter and his son-in-law, to be near his Torah, and to be near the Jewish people. That's the purpose of the Mishkan. The purpose of the Mishkan was because of the Torah, because he gave us the Torah. So now there needs to be a place where Hashem can now reside in proximity to the Torah that he gave to us, and be near us, and allow us to have the Torah, but still begin to be close to the Torah as well. It's a brand new idea of an appreciation of the Mishkan. The idea being the integral, essential, fundamental connection between the Torah and the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash. And as I said at the beginning, every shul and synagogue is really a model of the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore it reveals a brand new appreciation of what a shul is. A shul is a place of davening, no question. But if the shul is modeled after the Mishkan, and the whole reason why the Mishkan was given to us was in order for Hashem's presence to be near the Torah, which he gave to us, so then how can a shul be without Torah? How can a shul have no Torah learning going on inside of it? That's one idea. And another idea that the Be'er Yosef explains, he says, that therefore, how can the Jewish people abandon the Torah? Because it's like the king You know, imagine if the king, the son-in-law, the king, now forgets and abandons his wife, the queen. Well, what's going to happen then? The king, the father-in-law king is going to say, well, okay, you know, the only reason I'm here with you is only because you're looking after my daughter. You're looking after my precious daughter. So I'm staying around. That's why I want to be near her. But if you're going to abandon my daughter, then, you know, goodbye. Goodbye. I'm not hanging around with you. I'm not in love with you. I'm in love with the Torah. So that with my daughter, sorry. I'm in love with my daughter. I want my daughter to come back. So in the nimshal, in the application of the mashal, if we are the king, the son-in-law, if we abandon the daughter, if we abandon Hashem's precious daughter, the Torah, then what's going to happen to the Shechina? Can we really expect a proximity? Can we really expect Hashem's presence to be with us? Can we really expect the Hashgacha Pratis, divine providence? Can we really expect Hashem to be with us in our lives, to guide us and to shine his light upon us? Can we expect that? No, of course not, because Hashem's not here. If I'm going to abandon his daughter, then he's not going to be here with me. If I'm going to abandon the Torah, I'm just going to throw that to the side and not keep the Torah, not keep the mitzvahs, not observe the Torah. So then what hope can I have in having the Shekhinah to be by my side? That's the relationship of the Shekhinah to us. The Torah is an integral factor. It was the factor for the Shekhinah to come down and to be inside the Beis HaMikdash, inside the Mishkan. It's a very, very, I mean, it's a beautiful idea. I mean, it doesn't need my approbation, just a fundamental concept of the intrinsic connection to the Torah and the obligation we have to hold on to the Torah tightly, because the Torah is his precious child, it's his precious daughter. And he's only giving that to us if he's only here with us because we're looking after the Torah. It's a very, very important, like the connection between the, I mean, really, it's the connection between feeling Hashem's presence and also learning the Torah. You know, unfortunately, there is a habit, let's look at that. There's a certain habit that people have in thinking that they can enjoy a full life and Shekhinah, divine presence, connection to God, and throw away the Torah. You know, maybe it works psychologically. I mean, it's challenging, this idea, because sometimes what we think, what we feel is not really what's true, what's real. You know, you can't always think that because I feel a certain way, therefore it's real. There are plenty of people who feel, and they will claim that they feel the divine presence, they feel the sense of spirituality, but yet they're doing really weird things and strange things, but yet they'll swear to the fact that they're feeling the divine presence. So fortunately, as we've said so many times, we have the Torah to guide us. We have the Chochmah of the Torah to guide us, to tell us, to teach us, Hashem to guide us, to tell us that the way to truly feel, to really experience, to be able to have the Shekhinah in our lives is the adherence and the devotion and the dedication to the Torah. I mean, that's what the Medrash is saying. The whole reason, I mean, we throw these verses around like very easily. Shechanti besochem, osuli migdash, shechanti besochem, make me a migdash, I'll dwell among you. It's a beautiful idea. It's an essential idea. It's in the Torah. But look what the Medrash is saying. The whole reason why that is happening is only because he gave us the Torah to be committed to it, to be committed to it. And if we're going to throw away the Torah, we're going to throw away his daughter. So how can we expect him to be here with us? And now if a person says, well, I feel a person's presence. We're all on a journey. There's no question. We're all on a journey. So I'm not going to admit, God forbid, minimize. But in the big picture, in terms of the direction we're going, you know, how do we truly experience and have the divine presence in our life? We need to be dedicated and committed to the Torah, because that's why Hashem is allowing us to experience his divine presence. And that's what he says. That's what the Medrash says in Be'er Yosef. One just final idea, another idea that we connected to this, or the Slonim Rebbe, he says that another idea related to this is this idea of finding a place inside of our heart. Like in the Medrash, it says, the Medrash describes how Hashem, is saying, make a small room. Make me a small room where I can dwell. So this has a very, very personal application. Very, very personal application. to try to make a small room inside of your heart, to try to make a small room inside of your heart, which is really dedicated to the Torah in a very, very real way. And as you know, we're all on a journey. We can't change overnight. We can't suddenly just snap into a new level. It takes time. It takes effort. But it begins somewhere. It's got to start somewhere. And it starts somewhere, and using the mashal of the Medrash, making a small chamber inside of your heart where I can dwell. Make a small chamber inside of your heart where I can dwell, Hashem says. Make a small chamber, something pristine, something holy, something immune to the negative forces around. Make that the place to begin from. And the Slon Rebbe says, the fact that it says, Asu li mikdash, make me a small room of Kedusha. Mikdash is Kaddish. Make me a small room of Kedusha. Make me a small chamber of Kedusha where I can dwell. What does Kedusha mean? Kedusha means separation from the things which are forbidden. The different applications of Kedusha. Kedusha means segregation. Segregation from that which is forbidden to us. So, for example, forbidden relationships. That's Kedusha. Forbidden foods. That's Kedusha. Any type of separate withdrawing, Kaddish, the word Kaddish means segregation, separation from that which is impure, which is unholy. So any type of separation from an unholy activity, whether it be our consumption, whether it be our relationships, whatever it may be, pick something, that's called Kedusha. So finding something, it's finding something in one's life where I can make a mikdash for Hashem inside my heart, where Hashem can dwell inside of my heart. Another thing he suggests is also is Shabbos, because Shabbos Kodesh. Shabbos Kodesh, we describe that as Kedusha. Make Shabbos Shabbos. Make Shabbos a Shabbos. And again, this is an avoda for a lot of people, unfortunately. It's a challenge. It's a very big avoda, but it begins somewhere. Make Shabbos Shabbos. Make Shabbos Shabbos. Start somewhere. Decide. Today, in the memory of Gutelaski Bastrop David, I'm going to start keeping Shabbos properly. I'm going to start step by step. I'm going to start keeping Shabbos step by step, doing something. Start somewhere. Asuli Migdash, make a holy space inside of your week, a space of Shabbos inside of your week where Hashem can dwell. As we know, Shabbos radiates out into the whole week, gains the energy of the whole week, radiates out into the whole week. But that's another way to fulfill the idea of Asuli Migdash, make a pristine chamber, a holy chamber where Hashem resides, Hashem sits with you. And that's Shechanti B'Socha, that's what Hashem wants from us. So may we all be Zocha to really bring Hashem's presence into our lives. And it's a Vikhuli, that Hashem says, you'll then take me. By doing all of these things, we bring Hashem into our lives. And our lives become a more richer experience of growth and elevation and holiness, coming close to Hashem. And with all that, bringing the ultimate return of the Mishkan, Beis HaMikdash Shlishi, the third Beis HaMikdash, very quickly in our days.